Hey guys, welcome back to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam. Here's Danielle.
Hi. So I've been talking about this episode for a little while on Instagram and everything because it was sort of an eventful day for us. We went into the city to record with Sarah Merrill, who is aka Big Kid Problems. She's a huge Instagram account. She's a millennial. She's getting married. You'll hear all about that. But we spoke about the fact that it had been brewing like a fight between us for a couple weeks.
Brewing pretty hard at that
point. Pretty hard at that point. And we did two back-to-back recordings with her.
Poor Sarah.
Although she didn't realize. Like I texted her the next day and was like, listen, I got to tell you, like, I'm really sorry if you need us to like redo your episode.
Yeah, well, there was
no
a
problem.
Point. There was a point when we stopped and she's like, wow, a real fight.
She's like, this is great. She's like, this is like, right. So I said it and she was like, oh no. She's like, I think it was great. I'm like, yeah, maybe it is great because you were doing a fighting episode for hers.
Right.
And you got her actual fight. So
yeah, listen,
it was Real Housewives personified.
For Marriage or Martinis, you get Marriage or Martinis.
So we went to dinner after this, and I just need to formally apologize to anyone in the restaurant.
Not me.
No, oh, God, no. I know I will still not apologize to you. I was crying through the whole dinner and everything. And I did a poll on Instagram before, and I said, what percentage of you have gotten into a big blowout publicly with your spouse? And how many do you think said have done it?
70%.
Wow. I thought it would have been higher too. Only 54% said they've gotten into a public blowout with their spouse. But I didn't ask how many of you have cried in public because of your spouse. I bet that number would be a lot higher. But I think the episode actually, despite the fact that we were ready to kill each other, I think it came out, it's a really fun episode.
Well, the topic is a lot of fun.
She's a lot of fun.
And especially because we wish we could have a millennial wedding now.
Totally.
So it was fun for us to like dream a little bit, you know, what we would do.
Right. It was, I think it's a great, and I learned a lot actually too, because we haven't been to any millennial weddings. So it's an interesting thing to talk about. But I realized that I kept a journal when we were planning our wedding.
Did you?
Yes. I remember I used to keep these really intricate journals. Like I have one for Mia every single time she like burped or like ate.
Yes. I remember that because you did journaling instead of that baby book where you just fill in the blanks.
Yes. I journaled.
I
journaled until our second child. And then stopped. But Jonah's our third.
No, I said poor Jonah because he gets the.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, I was thinking about maybe I should start like reading some segments from the journal. I don't know. I listened to this awesome podcast that I love called Childish. It's with, I don't know if anybody knows, Allison Rosen and Greg Fitzsimmons. And they sometimes read from their old diaries. It's like a hilarious segment they call like Explosive Diaries. I think I should start doing that.
Okay.
Because it's so funny when they do it. And
comedians, right?
I know, but I sometimes read mine back and it's so like, as Mia would use as a teenager, like cringy to read it. It would be really funny to do it on. But anyway, if you have not checked out Childish and heard their Explosive Diary stories, you need to do that. They're a lot like you and me, except you know what the difference is?
No.
They are not married. So they get to go home after. They are like best friends doing a podcast.
Oh, man,
like,
that's fun.
I know. So, yeah. So they're awesome. But anyway, off topic. We don't have like pictures from our wedding around the house, or we don't even know like where our album or our DVD is because to us.
No, because it was a VHS.
It wasn't. It was a DVD.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was a DVD.
I thought it was a VHS.
Yeah, no. That's it. We haven't seen it in so long.
No, we had a VHS. I think I'm right.
But the point is, we're not sentimental about our wedding at all.
No.
Like we're the opposite. So I don't know, to hear her plan it and be able to be so excited and be so involved in it and everything, like, is really, I'm jealous. And we also talk about this amazing wedding she went to at the House of Yes, which if you have never looked that up or heard of that, look it up. It's pretty incredible. And these are the types of weddings that I wish that we had had. And
we talk about a ton of those, which is why I kind of don't even want to come back to you with an answer for what you're talking about right now.
Right.
Because we get into it in the episode.
Right. Okay. So anyway, big kid problems, Sarah Merrill. She was awesome. Thank you for being so patient with us that night. I appreciate it. And when her episode comes out, I will let you all know so that you can listen and hear the second episode, which is even more intense than the first. And we talk a little bit also about our reminiscing about New York City for like the first, I would say like 8 minutes. So if you just want to get to the wedding stuff, you can just skip over that. Enjoy the episode. It's really a fun one.
Hey guys, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam, here's Danielle.
Hello.
And here's Sarah.
Hi.
Here we are.
Here we are. We are in New York City, in my old stomping ground. So I used to live on Charles Street.
Downtown. I remember.
Adam remembers. He only remembers the gross aspects of where I lived.
Well, I remember almost every weekend taking the train in from Princeton Junction to Penn Station. Mm-hmm. And I must have really loved you, because what a fucking hassle that is. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever gone to Penn
it's
Station,
what it people do it every day. They commute.
I know. Like, do they still do that crazy train rush to like when you're waiting for your train at Penn Station when it flips the board?
Yes.
Is it still like that?
Oh, it's still like that. It's
oh,
misery.
My God. I hated that.
Right, and then everyone rushes to one track.
Yeah, and you're lucky if you get a seat. Oh, I don't know how people do it every day.
I know, but they do. So you're like, oh, you had to do it on the weekends to come party in the city.
Yeah.
People do that every
I
day
know.
All
right.
to I'm go
not,
to work.
I'm not going
to
bitch about it
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, please don't. But no, it was my roommate and I, who's still my best friend. We lived on Charles Street, and it was my cousin's apartment, so he was very, very kind to, and it was a cousin through marriage, so it wasn't even a cousin through blood. So he was very kind to, like, give us the apartment to you, and we, I mean, when I tell you we shit up this place, I mean,
I'll vouch for that.
It was disgusting.
How big was it? Because West Village apartments can really range.
It was probably the size of this apartment, maybe.
Studio?
Well, it was a one bedroom.
Yeah, one bedroom.
It was a one bedroom, but I had, my bedroom was like this, like out in the living room.
Yeah.
And my friend, she was an only child. So she's like, I have to have the bedroom. I've never shared a bedroom with anybody. I was like, fine. So she had the bedroom. We slept out here when Adam would come. I would be like, okay, you need to lock yourself in there now and not come out for the rest of the night.
Right.
I don't care if you have to go to the bathroom. You just stay in there.
Well, you couldn't anyway. You couldn't use your bathroom.
No, my bathroom was disgusting. The toilet was always clogged.
Couldn't use your toilet. Couldn't use your sink.
Right.
Couldn't use...
It's like classic, classic New York City living right
classic,
there.
And especially at 21 years old.
Oh, yeah.
When you're a senior in college and, you know, you're just... You have no time for that. No one cleans.
Oh, my God. My first apartment here was disgusting.
Really?
Oh, so bad.
I mean, that makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah.
You seem like a really clean person, so now...
No, thank you. Thanks for that. No, my first apartment literally was the size, like you couldn't even fit a queen size bed in there because it would touch all three walls, like it wouldn't work. So I had to have like a full size bed. And even like in that bed, like if you were outside of the bed, you were basically touching a wall. Like it was there, it was a it was basically a closet turned into a bedroom. And I paid like $1,500 a month.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, that was one amazing thing about going to NYU was that my first year, and I didn't even understand, and this was obviously pre 9/11, but I got there my freshman year. My dorm was on Washington Square Park, which anybody who knows anything about New York City, it's like this gorgeous, wonderful park. So I was overlooking Washington Square Park. I looked to my right and it was the Twin Towers. I looked to my left and I saw the Empire State Building. Like for a college.
What street?
Is that right on Washington Square Park West?
Okay. I was on Sullivan, so I had that same
view.
Yeah.
So as you know, in college that my parents were paying for it. It was like the perfect time to be living in New York. And I had this incredible view that probably would have been 16 times the cost had I not been in college. So it was incredible. And we are drinking, I have to say, we are drinking One Hope wine.
Yes, we are.
Which is your fiance's.
My fiance's company.
And it is delicious.
Oh, I'm so glad you like
We're
it.
We're loving it.
Yeah.
And I'm very, Adam right now is having a major jealousy because his whole life mission is to own a winery.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah. So. I'm glad I'm marrying into this business,
yeah.
You know? Like, I don't have to do any of the work, but I get all the benefits.
You're getting in after it's been kind of like at a level where they've done all the work to, you know, get it going.
Yes.
So now you can enjoy.
I can enjoy it. I'm the official taste tester of One Hope. It's
I was going to say, have you ever crushed the grapes?
I haven't, because like they actually don't do that in real life.
Oh, no.
You know?
It's an I Love Lucy episode.
It's an I Love Lucy episode. But actually, for our wedding, because we're going to do it at the winery that One Hope has, and I want to do that. I want to have like maybe like the night before, I want to do like grape stomping, because I think it'd
yes.
be like so fun. Like everybody
that
has that vision.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of gross to think about you're drinking wine that was like on someone's, the grapes are on someone's feet.
Totally.
That's kind of gross.
Do you know what my actual dream is? I'll just tell you right now. Well, hopefully this episode won't air until afterwards, but I want to like have everyone do the grape stomp. And then at dinner when we're all like toasting and everyone drinks the wine, I'd be like, that's the wine everybody crushed.
Oh, that would be
like
amazing.
Watch everyone like spit it out.
Too.
I mean, we would be kidding, obviously, but I just want to gross people out.
That's amazing. Really funny.
I love it.
So I first learned about you, Sarah, from Big Kid Problems, which I have been following for a really long time. You just revealed to us that you're 30. You just turned 31.
Yes.
And we obviously are older than that. But you have
it at that.
So Big Kid Problems, for anybody who doesn't know, it's an Instagram account that is, it's a lot of memes. It's a lot of your original hilarious content. And it's been around now for what? How long?
A long time.
So you were really young when you started it.
Yeah, I started it while I was in college. I was a senior in college.
Brilliant.
Let me take you back. It was actually before Instagram was out. It started as a Twitter account.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was on Twitter.
Is it still Twitter? Like, do you
still? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So if you look at my account, it's actually like, there's a pattern, but it goes meme, tweet, meme, tweet. Like these are all just screenshots of my tweets. And it's funny because it has a much bigger audience on Instagram than it does on Twitter. But yeah, that's how it started. Because a big part of it is just those like stupid little 140 character jokes.
Because you really are like one of the, I don't know, is that what they, like the OGs, like the originals of Instagram. For real. Like you are one of the older accounts. Now there's all these newer accounts trying to kind of replicate what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you were one of the originals.
Thank you. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's fun. I'm definitely one of the ones that like makes their own content. Because I feel like there's like a lot of meme accounts out there that aggregate content. But I try to keep most of mine, probably like 90% of the content is like from me.
And your stuff is hilarious and it gets shared by huge accounts.
Yeah. It's right? Nice when that happens.
Yes, it is. When the second you see that, you're like, yes.
Yeah. Right?
Before we started recording, we were talking about, Danielle, you have no idea how to do setups and the recording and the technical aspect of it. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah,
right now.
He knows nothing about it.
Oh, really?
I'm barely allowed on Instagram.
I'm not allowed on the social media.
You're not allowed?
No,
what do you
I'm
mean?
I'm a stalker on our own social media.
Yeah. Because I'm so worried he's going to offend somebody, so I make him stay.
Oh, that's smart.
I don't give him the password or anything.
I have no idea how Instagram works or Twitter works.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so.
But you're doing a great job then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. No, so that's sort of my realm. And I love it. I feel like I love the community and everything. I think it's really fun. And then you started a podcast.
Yes.
Okay. So Big Kid Problems is the podcast.
Yes. It's the Big Kid Problems podcast. It's my newest endeavor.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing it. So you guys, we were kind of chatting about that too. You guys have like an ongoing situation where you have episodes every week. Mine is a lot shorter. I'm doing seasons. Mm-hmm. I just did my first season earlier this year. And then now I'm in my second season, which is only like 12 to 14 episodes, and which is fun. And I get to like put a lot into each one, and each episode has a topic. Like I'm going to have you guys on,
yes!
Obviously.
We're excited.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been really, really fun. I'm definitely still new to the podcast game, but I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, we love it too. But it is true. You're constantly figuring it out. Like it's one step at
a
time.
Just barely over a year in and we're still figuring everything out as we're going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much to it.
So much to it.
And on top of that, when did you get engaged? You're planning a wedding.
Planning a wedding, yes. I got engaged on Memorial Day. So that was, just the beginning of the summer, a couple months back. And I was shocked. Well, I wasn't shocked. Like, I knew we were going to get married. We were going to, it was going to happen. But the day that it happened, I didn't know. Like, I was completely blindsided me.
Aww.
And I'm not one for surprises.
Like, you don't like them or you can sense them coming?
No, I don't like being surprised.
Okay.
And I'm usually never surprised. Like, I'm pretty, like, I don't know what the word is.
Intuitive.
Intuitive, yeah. Like, I can usually sense when this stuff is coming. So he got me good.
Aww.
What'd he do?
Wait, before that, I didn't mean to jump right in. I want to hear the story also, but I wanted to talk to you about weddings. I know you said you're just in the beginning planning.
Oh, yeah.
So the thoughts are going. I don't know if you're one of those people who you've had a plan since you were 7 years old. We'll talk about all that or not, but as a millennial, can I call you that?
Yeah.
It's not an offensive term. It's just a generation.
Some people, remember we did that episode and like some people are like, no, I'm not a millennial. I won't be called a millennial. We're Gen Xers, but we're kind of on the cusp of millennials.
We're Zennials.
Yes. I don't even know what that
means. Half X, half
I don't know what any of it means.
Right.
All I know is that
it's just a generation gap, so there's nothing offensive or anything about it. It just means you were born from
the same year. I know it's not offensive, but remember, like, some people were saying, like, no, I'm not a millennial, because then you're associated with what we were saying during that episode, like, people whose parents pay their rent and this and that. Like, we went over all that in one of the earlier episodes.
Well, there's a lot of misconceptions about millennials.
I agree with you, too, because some of the greatest things that we are all doing today come from millennials.
Look, it's like any generation. There's good ones and there's bad ones. Okay?
Very true.
True.
Yeah.
There's great millennials that work hard as fuck like anybody else.
Right.
And then there's ones who their parents pay for everything that they do.
And there are definitely ones that are changing the way we do everything.
Of course. Absolutely.
So, but anyway, the whole thing was that we got married 17 years ago, engaged 18 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I look back on it.
So
we were what?
Like 6 years old.
Just doing the math. Quick math. Yeah.
Well, when I look back on our wedding, we'll get into it. It was sort of a shit show.
Really?
Yeah, we'll talk about all that.
I know, I'm very curious.
Yours is not going to be. I can already sense that because, number one, you're more mature. Your world's more mature than we were. I just met your fiancé. The two of you, like, could have parented us.
We call him dad. Like, he is very, like, my friends call him dad because he's, like, the mature guy. But, like, I am not. Yeah, no.
Is he the same age as you or he's older?
No, he's a little bit older.
Okay.
No, but we were 23 when we got engaged.
Wow.
So keep in mind.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, if I had gotten engaged at 23, like, my wedding would 100% be a shit show.
Yeah, and we were very, it was all very traditional.
I am so excited to talk to you today about Lark. Lark is a product just for people with vaginas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And awesome. I have to say, when we were on Good Moms, Bad Choices talking to Jamila and Erica, and I told them that I have only had two penises in my vagina ever.
Wow, is this an ad? What's going on here? I'm a little confused.
They were shocked. But I have been very deliberate about what I put in my vagina. And Lark...
As far as penises go.
Well, as far as anything goes. Yeah. And Lark is so amazing because we spend so much time as women doing this skincare regimen for our faces. But so many of us, we've been through hormonal changes, childbirth, a lot of us, menopause. Some of us are premenopausal. And our bodies are changing. And it contains... Just give me a minute here because I have trouble
Take
with this word.
Take all the time you need.
It's a science word. Hyaluronic acid. Have you heard of that?
Of course.
Oh, you have?
No.
You're lying. And also rejuvenating botanicals and is free of all harmful chemicals and dyes. And it is formulated for people with sensitive skin. And what hyaluronic acid is... I looked it up. It's found in high concentrations in juicy places like the eyes, the joints, and the vagina.
Oh, boy.
But we start to lose all of that as we get older. And Lark just naturally helps us to replenish it. And I know you're having trouble listening to this right now, but it's real. And women all, we need to think about these things. And it comes in, they have two products. They have Nourish, which is for every day. Just basically to help rejuvenate yourself, and it helps our bodies to plump, and it plumps the skin cells, so it makes it nice. And then it also has Romp, which is to be used just during sex, and it's also condom compatible, and it contains 10 restorative botanicals. It's extra slippery, but it feels natural. It's made from the same stuff that's already inside of us. So it's not like a lot of other lubricants where it feels fake. And you know I hate a lot of lubricants. They make me feel really bad down
there. Yes, I do know that. Well, and by the way, do they make a thing for the penis to become more plump?
I think they're working on
it. I'm on board if they're like looking for a test dummy or something.
Well, I took this to Atlanta with me. I took the Nourish because I've been using it every day, but I also took the Romp. And I took some other things with me, too. And I think you're going to really like everything when... I think you're going to like the results when
listen,
next time.
Listen, the juicier vagina, it makes me a happy man.
Oh, God. You went there now. Yeah. So anyway, you got to go to larklove.com. The products are so worth it. Lark, L-A-R-K, love, L-O-V-E.com. Promo code MARTINIS for 20% off of these awesome natural products. Go, let's go, ladies, because we need to start thinking of stuff. It's not just skincare for our face anymore. We got to think about our whole body. I'm sure everybody by now has seen, if you're on Instagram a lot or Facebook, the FabFitFun boxes that everybody's always posting. And I've always been so intrigued. I finally got one. And it's as fun as it looks. It's amazing because when you open it, first of all, I don't know how else to describe it, but like if you can smell happiness.
Smell happiness?
Yeah, I'm serious. Like when I opened it up, this like it was like it like wafted.
Wow. You got the words. Towards me.
I do have the words. And it was like just it smelled so good. And then as I was going through the box, it literally it was like everything I would take out, I would be like, okay, this must be the last item. And then I'd go in and grab something and there'd be more. And there's a full-size gorgeous yoga mat. There's
That's fun.
A cheese board. Look how gorgeous.
I want the cheese board.
I know. Well,
that looks really
I
cool.
know. There's stuff for you in there too, for sure. I thought it was just going to be like all women related, but there's definitely stuff in there that you can use. There's this amazing aromatherapy. There's Aveda products. There's it. Every single thing in there is like unique and you take it out and it's fun. And I have the fab and the fun part down. I'm working on the fit part. Yeah, you're
opening. Can you excuse me? I'm smelling the exfoliating sugar cubes. Yeah. I just like the smell.
They're good, right?
Yeah.
Everything smells amazing and it's so fun. And what FabFitFun is it's a subscription box filled with full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products sent straight to your doorstep each season. They take the hassle out of shopping by doing it for you. Each box is customized to your specific interests. So you go on and you tell them what your interests are, and then they customize the box for you. And the fall box is the perfect way for you to treat yourself or others and keep cool with their carefully curated box of products.
Well, this sounds awesome. Can you please just tell everybody where and how they can get these boxes?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sorry. I got excited.
I know.
It's retails for $49.99, but there's always a value of over $200. I think right there, I have three products out of like, I don't know how many are in there. Those alone are over $200 right
I'm
there.
I'm sure.
So if you head to fitfabfun.com and put in promo code MNM, you get $10 off your first box. FabFitFun, promo code MNM, $10 off your first box today.
Okay, so tell us first how you got engaged, number one.
Okay, I'll give you the quick story.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
The quick story is basically Brandon had told me, that's my fiance's name, Brandon. He had told me that we were going to go to this charity event at this place called Calamigos Ranch in Malibu, which is absolutely stunning, beautiful.
Isn't that like George Clooney's? No,
that's Casamigos. Shit. Okay. I was actually calling it Casamigos for a very long time, okay. And I get corrected all the time. But it's just basically this beautiful venue in Malibu. It's like overlooking all of Malibu. It's gorgeous. But we had been to a charity event a couple months before for his work. He gets invited to these kinds of things all the time. So I didn't even think anything of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, fine. We'll do that. And he's like, I have to go to the charity golf tournament is beforehand. So I have to go early. Just meet me at Calamigos at this time, you know, 7 p.m. or whatever it was. I'm like, sure. 6:30 rolls around. I'm not even like concerned. I'm like still at home getting ready, like taking my sweet time. Because I think I'm like, I'm going to this charity event. I don't know anybody going. I'm not going to show up on time. Meanwhile, like he had prepared this whole engagement thing and like I'm missing it. I was an hour late to my own engagement. Anyway, he basically calls me. He's like, you need to hurry up. There's a sit down dinner. Like basically made a reason that I had to get there very quickly. So I show up at Calamigos. Now I'm going to keep calling it Casamigos.
Right.
I show up at Calamigos. The valet was in on it. They basically were like, oh, you're here for the event. Let us show you to where you need to go. They walk me to this path. There's like a path that's going up this like vineyard, kind of not a mountain, but it's like up a hill. And I'm like not even paying attention, but there's like these little signs that are going along. I start reading them halfway through, but basically I'm going up this path and the first chalkboard sign says like sometimes, and then I keep walking, and then the next chalkboard sign says like the best moments, and then I keep walking. I just think this is for the event.
Right.
And then it says like are around the corner, and I turn the corner like expecting to see like tables and chairs and like 100 people, and it's just Brandon sitting in the middle of like this field with like rose petals everywhere. It was like at sunset.
So he was probably sweating by the time he got there. Sweating bullets. He's like, where the fuck is she?
Yes, for an hour in the sun.
Oh,
in a suit. I felt so, I walk up to him. I'm like, I almost fell over. And walk up to him, and he did the whole like said a bunch of things. I completely blacked out, and then he says the first words out of my mouth instead of like, yes, I'll marry you, were, I can't believe I was an hour late. I'm such a fucking asshole.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's kind of appropriate. First
words. He's like, is that a yes?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. And so there wasn't anybody else there. It was just...
It was the two of us. He did have one of his good friends is a photographer. I didn't even notice him, but he was there snapping pictures the whole time. So we have those pictures and they're epic. I'm so happy we have them.
Aww.
Yeah. So it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have to ask you about, last night I was watching your stories on Instagram. I guess it's your personal account, but it's a public account.
Yeah.
And they were, you need to explain to me what was happening, because there were, you're at a wedding, okay? So the caption was like, just a casual wedding. And there's like two people twerking in a bathtub with like very little clothing on. Someone else is above them sprinkling glitter while the other two are twerking. And it's like a whole like charade.
Did you guys not have that at your wedding?
Well, see, now I'm wishing I did. I'm so upset. I had such FOMO watching that. And I don't even know these people. And I was like, why wasn't I invited?
I know. So here's the thing. Millennial weddings.
This was a wedding. This was a millennial wedding in New York City.
It was actually in Brooklyn. Yeah, this is the thing. Millennial weddings, I think they're a little bit different. They're a little less traditional.
I'm so jealous.
This is like the wedding that I went to last night is actually like the, I don't know, this is like, they are the prime example of this, because we're going to be non-traditional, but this was so non-traditional. It actually took place at this place called House of Yes. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's basically,
we are literally at home all the time with our children. It's so sad. House of Yes. Make a note of that.
House of Yes, even just the name is like, what?
Yeah.
But it's basically like this warehouse in Brooklyn, and they throw these like ridiculous parties that like go all night, like into the morning. It's basically like raves that they throw. So I've actually never been there, but I heard this, they're having their wedding at House of Yes. I'm like, oh shoot, this is going to be interesting.
Are they like a regular couple, or are they like a Hollywood couple? Like, are they just regular people who decided to get married at the House of Yes?
I mean, they're not right. Like, they're good friends of ours. They're really cool. Like, they're definitely like your quintessential, like, I wouldn't say quintessential millennials, but they're very creative. They work in like the weed industry. Yeah, like they work in like the weed industry, and like they have very non-traditional like jobs.
Uh-huh.
Like, they travel a lot. They live bi-coastally.
And they just decided they wanted to have like a very fun, out-of-this-world wedding. I love it.
Yeah.
This is why I love the millennials.
Yeah,
because
like,
they
we
break
suck.
The mold, right?
Yeah.
They actually have weddings that people want to go to.
Yeah.
And want to go, like, holy shit, we're going to this wedding tonight. Yeah, it's a millennial wedding. We're going to have so much fun. As opposed to, you know, when we were getting married and before us, it's...
It's the fucking same fucking
wedding.
Thing
yeah,
every weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna pursue on the same wedding.
Yeah,
it's almost like your. Dances. It's almost like for your parents, you know, like
well, we'll
your,
that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But the thing is that when you're in, and you're probably in 31, you're probably in like the prime of like the thick of all your friends are probably getting married.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I feel like I've heard other generations say that like there comes a period of time where everyone's getting married. Ours are very spread out.
Okay.
And I will say, like, that's something, because I was talking to the bride last night and we were dying. I'm like, I cannot believe, like, this is your wedding. And she said, and it's so true, because she's in her mid-30s. We're also, a lot of us are getting married later in life. So she was saying, she's like, yeah, I'm in my mid-30s. By this time, I've been to a million weddings. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was have another traditional wedding. Like, we had to shake it up. And I'm like, well, you shook it up. Yeah.
And were their parents so, okay, as much as I absolutely loved every second of watching your story, and the entire time I was like, fucking A, this is a wedding I actually want to go to. Are the parents like fine with it, the older generation, or are they like, because I feel like our parents would have been like, what the fuck is happening? Like, where's the rabbi?
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely saw, like, you know, their grandparents were there. And, like, you know, there was, like, a madam. I don't know. Is it a madame? I don't know. The madam, because it was at House of Yes, who, like, officiated them, was, like, cursing throughout the whole ceremony, like, saying, like, fuck, fuck, fuck.
We need to be millennials.
No, we need to get married again. We need...
screw that. We need to, like, actually, like, start over as millennials. That's where we belong.
But we could have that kind of wedding
if
we
already have
our vows.
Marriage. We already have the kids. Oh, let's get rid
Isn't
of the kids.
Romantic?
Get divorced.
Start over. Just
don't
let them
need
free.
To do that. We
send
can
them
renew
free.
Our vows anyway. Send them free. With birds in a cage. Yeah. Just open the cage.
There's a special farm that the kids will have fun.
Right.
Around.
Our parents would be like, where are the kids? Would be like, they're on a farm.
Yeah,
they're fine.
It wasn't working out.
Right. No, I think that that's a So when you say that your wedding is not going to be quote unquote traditional.
Yeah.
Right, we'll tell you a little bit about our wedding.
Yeah.
How fucking boring it was.
All right, picture.
We didn't know about glitter shakers and twerking and
glitter shakers didn't exist until 10 years after we got married. Okay.
Well, they did.
Of course they did. No, my point is when we were kids when we got engaged, right? I just said we were 22 or 23, whatever. We didn't know what we wanted yet. We didn't know. We still lived at home. We still, you know, knew our traditions of marriage. This is how a wedding goes. This is what it is. This is where you go. She was influenced by her parents. I was influenced by my parents. That's kind of the way weddings.
Yeah.
And that's what you were saying is for your parents.
Yeah. Your parents are basically throwing the party. They're footing
Absolutely.
The bill too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And especially being so young, we didn't have any money. We couldn't have a wedding.
Right. Like even our honeymoon, as much as it was a great honeymoon for us who had not been many places, I had been way less places than he had, but our honeymoon was like, you know, it was a 7-day cruise to the Caribbean. You know, it was a very standard because we paid for it.
Yeah.
And I had zero money. He had a little more money than I did. But it was just all very basic. I mean, it was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Like, every aspect
of
it was beautiful.
We had a traditional, gorgeous wedding.
Yeah.
That's what we had. You know, like.
Where was it?
In Livingston, New Jersey.
Was it like a country club?
It was
or?
A very she, not a country club, but like a very she, what's it called?
I don't know.
Wedding.
Like a castle kind of thing, right?
Oh.
Yeah, well.
No, not a castle, like the excited. Look of, like, but it was made to be an event place.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like we were right. at a.
It was a beautiful place. It was a beautiful wedding. It was the same wedding that every single person, you know, I shouldn't say every single person.
Every single person who has a wedding at this place, that's what we had.
Right.
Like, there's no,
like,
there's
you basically, like, pick your colors and your flowers.
There was nothing that, like, people who walked into the wedding were like, oh my God, this is so Adam and Danielle. There was nothing like
but
that.
But there really wasn't, this is Adam and Danielle again, because we were so quick to get married after we met. It was 4 years after we
no,
met.
No, I think that had someone sat me down and said, what do you want your wedding to look like? What do you want people to experience? What do you want it to be? I think I would have had ideas, but there was none of that. It was not.
I don't think you would have. Not yet. Like, you wanted it at a hotel in Princeton, like a regular basic hotel.
Yeah, because I wanted to spend money on other things.
Well, that's my point. Like, you weren't thinking about the wedding, how you wanted it to look. Like, you wanted just an easy, as your parents did, a cheap wedding.
Damn.
I'm not coming down on them about that because I feel the same way. Yeah, I would do the same thing.
Now.
Right now, as the parent. Now, of course, I feel the same way. Well, actually, I don't because of where we'll go with what we think we want weddings to be today if we were going to get remarried or if we can get married again.
I'm into this whole renewing of the vows idea.
Well,
I like
thank
it.
What I was trying to say was
if
we were getting married today for the first time or even 10 years ago, for the first time, we would have way more control over our thoughts of what we want the wedding to be and where it would be and what. No?
No, because our parents wouldn't have allowed it.
But
unless we were paying for it.
Absolutely, if we were paying for it.
Right.
But it would be, I think we would have stood our ground as being older, saying, no, we're not into this big, traditional, beautiful wedding. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. But we'd rather go to Mexico and do just the people that we love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot. That's definitely how they are now.
Insert any place into Mexico.
Destination wedding.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of people are doing it these days.
That would make so much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to invite your third cousin removed because your other cousin's going to be there and, like, they have to be at a table with someone. Like, you don't have to think about that stuff.
Right. Well, it definitely still happens. I mean, I think it comes down to, like, who's paying for this wedding, you know? So when you're early in your 20s... your parents have more of a say. They want to invite the whole family. You know, now that we're a little bit older, we have our own money. We're, like, you know, footing most of the bill.
Right.
We can be like, yeah, actually, we're not going to invite that third aunt that I've met one time.
That's a huge deal, too. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's good that you're able to. That's one nice thing that waiting a little bit and having your own money really helps you to do.
Yeah. But it also sucks.
When you can say, I'm paying for this. This is what we want to do.
Yeah.
I'd love you to be there, mom and dad.
But there is a perk to having somebody else foot the bill.
Of course.
Like, right.
You know?
But we didn't have a choice. It's not like they foot the bill and then we had all this money that we had saved. We still had no money, even though they foot the bill. Like, we didn't have
it.
So we were at zero no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we're also, we're going to take all of our money and, like, lose it on this wedding. So we'll be right at zero.
But you'll get gifts.
Yeah, hopefully.
You will. And so now I was reading with one thing with, you know, one thing that's different also is we had a very traditional registry, like a gift registry. Mm. I went to Fortunoff. Fucking stupid as shit. I've cooked once since we were married and I have all these fucking pots and pans that I have no idea what to do with. You know, we had a very, either you give a cash gift or you buy off the registry. And the registry is literally sheets, towels. You know, it was like, I registered for towels.
I registered for utensils.
Like, all this stupid shit. I did not register for china. That was one thing. That was huge when we were getting married. Everyone was registering for china. I was like, I will never use china. So I didn't.
Smart, yeah.
I'm happy about that. But other than that, like, vases and, like, dumb shit, because that's what you did. Like, that's all that was in a Bloomingdale's or a Fortunoff. And there weren't these other places that you can go online, like, and I don't even know. You'll have to tell me. But I know now 80% of wedding planning is done online from what I read.
Planning, or you mean the registry?
Like, just everything from the registry to, you know, and now for a registry, there's all these other options.
Yeah. Well, I know that's what's great about registries now is you have basically, you can do it online. I haven't done mine yet, but what I have heard is really nice is, like, you can put all of these things in your registry. So same thing, like steak knives, china, whatever it is. But when somebody buys that for you, it's not actually buying the actual thing. Like, me as the bride in my registry, I can say, okay, this person gave $100 for steak knives. Do you want the steak knives or do you want the $100? So we, at the end of the day, can just, like, cash out on our registry. Or, you know, if we have things in there, I haven't done it yet. But if there are things, we'll probably put, like, honeymoon. That's another thing. A lot of people put, like, their honeymoon costs on there.
Right. See, that's what I would have loved to do.
Yeah, which is great.
We could have gone to, like, fucking Asia or something.
No, we couldn't have, because this did not exist when we were.
If it did exist.
There was barely an online when we got married. There was AOL chat rooms when we got married.
Saying to you that if it did exist, we could have done the most phenomenal honeymoon and not fucking seen the Bahamas for the 75th time.
If you had allowed us to wait to get married, maybe that would have occurred.
All right.
Oh.
Bye.
Were you guys, when you guys got married, was a lot of people at your age getting married at that time? Or were you the first?
No, way first.
Okay.
That was another thing, you know, but
when we actually had our first child, we were 28.
I was 27.
We were 27. So we were the young parents. Like, our friends were 30, 32, you know.
Yeah.
And
my brother and my sister was a little bit older, too. My brother was 30. How old were we? I was 24. My brother was 34 when he got married. And I think they had their first kid at 35 and 36. And, like, it was, they did a lot before they were, you know, it's a nice thing to wait. Like, we did. The one nice thing is that we're going to be retired earlier.
Yeah, that's nice.
We won't have much money.
We're going to have kids out of the house earlier. Not so much retired.
And we're going to be paying for 3 colleges.
So oh, God.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
But it will be nice a little bit that we'll be able to do that stuff, you know, as long as, like, but I always say, who knows if we'll have, like, really bad arthritis and we can't do all these things. So it's a risk we're taking that.
Well, we'll be in our mid-50s, which is only one decade away.
Right.
Scary.
That's a good point.
When the kids are out of the house.
That's wild.
So we're going to be very young.
Yeah.
You know, with no kids. We have friends now, multiple friends, who are just having their second kid.
Wow.
In their mid-40s.
Yeah.
You know? So they have to look another 20 years into the future. You know, it's kind of.
Unless you just let them free.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I have this farm that I was working on.
Yeah, well, I
she
like
has
this
farm. Vineyard. Fuck the farm.
Right.
Yeah. Take them to her vineyard. They can stomp grapes.
Perfect. Put them to work. Put them to work. Yeah.
So that was one of the big differences when I was looking at, you know, the, like, that so much of it, we had to, listen, we went from one photographer to the next photographer to the next, like the actual like brick and mortar places that these people were.
Oh, wow.
You know, I went to, I saw you got your dress.
Yes, finally.
Kleinfeld, is that where you're
at? Kleinfeld.
That's amazing. I don't know if it's different nowadays, but, you know, I went to 17 different places to look at dresses, and, you know, it seems like a lot. You're spending a lot less time doing the, not that a dress isn't important and everything, but you have more time to actually, like, enjoy being engaged and enjoy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we spent so much of that time planning that whole time we weren't talking about the real shit. Like, we had no idea how we wanted to work our finances and what kind of parents we wanted to be, because we were too fucking busy picking out what kind of chairs we wanted at the event.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you had to, like, go to physical places and, like, look at things. God. Oh my God.
Literally, we would go from... I remember it was so early on, and my dad, when we told him we want to get married at this place called the Crystal Plaza... So he did, like, crystalplaza.com, and it was a porn site. And he had, like, never been on the internet before. And he's like, I don't think this is a good place for you to get married.
Is he Obama?
But, what?
You just did, like, a really good Obama impression.
I did?
Yeah.
So it was just a different, you know, it was, when we were planning it 24/7. It was all-consuming.
Oof.
Well, yeah, you had to go one place to see the bands, one place to try the cake, one place to, you know, get the dress.
Yeah, we physically watched the bands perform.
Wow.
Before we picked one. Not on a video. In person.
In person.
Like, picture the wedding singer. You see that movie,
yeah.
Adam Sandler? Right?
That's... Of course. That's what you had. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even realize that, but you're right. That does make it so much easier, because I feel like I get a lot of stuff, too, and, like, I know what I want based off of, like, Pinterest and Instagram, you know? Like, I can just kind of look around and see what else is out there, whereas, like, maybe you only had the weddings you had been to before as, like, inspiration.
Exactly.
And there were, like, three of them.
Yeah.
Right. We've spoken about AskZeta.com before. It's the free tool, that takes over the money chores in your relationship. And in just 10 minutes, you can get set up on the platform. It will start to automatically track your spending, bills, net worth, goals, both individually and as a couple. It's made for couples.
Yeah, well, it really sucks so bad that it took us how many years together to finally get our shit together using this app?
Are you saying we have it together now?
I would not say that, but I would say that this app is... hugely enhanced our lives together.
Yes.
And understanding how finances actually work.
Yeah, if you've ever used Mint, it works similarly, but it's for couples, which is amazing. And you can leave memos for each other, so you can remember what certain transactions were for, when you say to me, why did you spend $250?
Hey, what's this for? What's that?
Yeah.
Here's your memo.
Exactly. And I say, because I'm raising a family. You can set a budget, a family budget, to make sure you stay on track for shopping and groceries, arts and crafts, supplies, birthday gifts, everything like that. And you and your spouse can set long-term goals too, like saving for college. And you use the app to track your progress towards those goals. And did I mention it's free? Like,
yeah.
F-R-E-E, free, like no strings attached. You have one source of truth for all your accounts, and that's been the biggest deal for us, is really knowing, like, not pretending anymore and knowing how much money we really have. So you need to go to AskZeta.com, AskZeta.com, and just enter your information. They have bank-level security, so you don't have to worry about anybody getting your information.
Yeah, don't feel weird about putting your login information for your banks and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, we
it's
know
totally
the people.
Secure.
We know them personally, and I would trust them with my life.
Yes.
So
go to AskZeta.com right now, AskZeta.com, for free. There's no promo code, no need for one, because it's free for everyone. Check it out. Get your financial life together like we are trying to.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Go check it out now.
And so I think even when our parents were planning it, they were planning it based on what their weddings were.
Right.
Or like his sister had just gotten married a year before us. They wanted our wedding to kind of be exactly like her wedding because it was great and it was beautiful. Let's just do it again.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what weddings were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's the traditional, beautiful,
right.
Let me give my kids this kind of wedding.
Right.
Which, look, I'm not downplaying it. Like, thank you very much to, you know, our parents for doing that for us. I'm not, you know, if there was an option, we probably would have chosen something Very different.
Yeah. I would have been twerking with glitter on my ass.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I think this is interesting, is so there was definitely like a pendulum shift because, you know, now there's all of this. Everybody wants to top the next wedding. Everyone wants their wedding to be different. And now you can go to Instagram and there's so many ideas and there's all of these things. And I think that the wedding industry itself has kind of just like begun to go crazy and get everything's like very expensive. The wedding industry is like nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and like you'll go, you know, an event that's like a charity event with the same chairs and tables and stuff, like those chairs and tables cost a certain price. And then those same chairs and tables going to a wedding, it's like four times the cost. Like everything, they just upcharge and upcharge and upcharge. And I think, so right now, like my generation, we're at like this, I think we're almost at the peak of like this wedding bubble. And I honestly think it's going to burst soon. Like truly, I think that are the next generation, because they're already like Gen Z. Is that the next one? Gen Z.
That's our kids.
Our kids are the Z's.
Yeah.
But we already see like, you know, people were doing things a little bit less traditionally. Like we don't have like 9-to-5 jobs. And I think that that's going to continue to happen. And as like we've realized, like people, you know, in generations realize they don't have to do things like the last set. I really think that people are not going to be spending as much.
Like a rebellion.
Yeah. I almost think it's going to be a bit of a rebellion. Like that wedding I went to last night, even though it was crazy, it was at this amazing club, like that was way cheaper than your typical like $100,000 wedding at like a country club, you know, like people are just gonna be spending their money a little bit different, making it a little bit more fun, maybe more party vibe, less tradition.
I think that's a shift also, is that, you know, when we got married, and I know this still happens, but it was very much centered around the two of us and our first dance and this and that. I think now one of the things that's so nice is that they're concentrating more on the fact of, okay, there are all these guests who really want to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and when we were getting married, it was more like, what do you want the first song to be? What are your bridal party and the photographs, and we, you know, everyone has to wait. What you do an hour taking pictures with everybody. I think now it's more like an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And more of one thing that I really also would love to do if we do, when we renew our vows, and I will do it by myself if he's not there, I will have a friend stand in or something. But,
which you probably prefer anyway.
Which so. I do prefer.
Yeah, you prefer the night after the wedding to be with one of your girlfriends anyway.
Oh, so. Whatever. So I feel like another thing that's happening, and you could tell me if this is something you plan on doing for yours, is that like one nice thing about a destination wedding where we went for a really good friend's a couple years ago is that it's not 5 hours and it's over. Like you're spending, it's a whole weekend event. And people, you know, people are flying in. People are driving hours. They're sitting in traffic. They're taking off of work or they're canceling their weekend plans. And it's like, it's nice as long as it's a fun, you know, experience. It's nice to give them more than a 5 hour event and for you getting married.
Yeah. That's what I've heard too. A lot of brides say like they blink and then the day's over and it's just a day. And that's why I like the weekend wedding idea too. Yeah. Is like you can actually relax and enjoy and you have your like, we're going to have our we're going to have basically a 4-day wedding because we're going to have a rehearsal dinner on Thursday, Friday have a welcome party where like everyone gets there. We have a basic like party on Friday, Saturday the actual wedding, Sunday like a brunch before you go. So there's gonna be 4 events that like I get to enjoy.
It's awesome. It's a vacation.
Yeah,
whatever's coming.
For sure, vacation, and you just you get to spend quality time because especially at an old school wedding too, like the bride is just running around saying hi to everyone, making sure they say hello.
But I was actually really good about that. Even then, I did not go table to table and say hello to everybody, and I know there were people pissed off. And I was like, I don't give a shit. Because I wanted to like just... And I
enjoy
didn't know
it.
Half those people. I was with the people I wanted to be with. But I got a lot of flack for that. Like there were a lot of pissed off people who were like, she didn't come over and say hi to us. And I get it. You came in from this place or this place. But I haven't seen you since I'm 3.
Yeah.
And this is my wedding.
Right.
You know, talk to my parents. They're the ones who invited you, not me. So it was like a lot of that. But at the same time, I'm glad I did that. Because I did enjoy a little bit more of what we were doing. Another thing that I was going to ask you about is name change.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, you know, it's becoming now more and more that women aren't changing their names. For me, at the time, even, you know, I have friends who didn't change their name, and I'm super respectful for that. I totally get it. I think it's, you know, there's so many reasons not to. I wanted to have the same name as my kids, so I wanted to do that. Is that... something that's becoming more questionable?
Yeah, I definitely think that's like more up in the air. It's interesting because I'm thinking about it too, and it's weird. You know,
you have a great name.
Thank you.
Don't tell your fiance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also like my name is part of my like brand online, yeah. You know, like I
and
want
you can
people
do two different things, private, right, and public.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think what I'll end up doing is just I'll probably do a hyphenated situation. Like I'll probably be like Sarah Merrill Hall. So that's me. But I do see that happening too. Like a lot of people like keeping their name, hyphenating.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have my kids hyphenate, but I would probably hyphenate,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
You can keep your branded name online or wherever you want it to be, and personally,
right.
You know, his name if you chose to do so. So it's not like changing your name means you lose your online presence.
It's not even just about the online presence. I don't know. I just kind of like
an identity.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And I've been in this identity, you know, like into my 30s. It's just like feels weird to suddenly like completely up and
change my name.
Is
that kind of a trend? Is that what's happening?
No, but well, when I did research, it said that 80% of women still change their names. Okay. And that might just be like total, like, you know, heterosexual marriages. I don't know how much that has to do with, you know, homosexual marriages or anything. But it did say that, yeah, it's still 80% of people changing their names. But I see why after a certain, you know, amount of time, it must get harder and harder because you've been that identity for even longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What about dresses?
I have 5 of those in my bridal party.
That's good. See, you're all set. You won't have to worry about shit.
Yeah.
So what about like dresses and stuff? Is everyone wearing the same dress? Are you doing different? Is it like a whatever you want? Because I did black. But you could wear whatever you
want.
That
was nice of you.
Well, it was nice. And I have to say, it was very progressive for my time.
Very progressive.
It was, because everyone was doing like, you know, like peach or teal. And I was like, no, just black. I don't give a shit what it looks like. It just has to be black.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick like a color and this is what I've heard of people doing recently. Like they'll basically pick a color and be like, you know, here's a couple options from stores all over.
Right.
And they don't all need to be the same. Like you pick whatever style you want and then just send it to me so that like at the end I can kind of make sure that it all kind of flows together, mm-hmm. and then like make the final okay. I don't know if that sounds like bridezilla-y.
Not at all.
But
no, bridezilla-y is this is what you're wearing. I don't care if how you feel in it. You know,
yeah.
That's sort of bridezilla.
Yeah. I did have a girlfriend who was like, I think her color was teal and she was very chill. She's like, yeah, just get a teal dress. But then all of them had like a different shade of teal and it looked a little weird.
Okay.
So that's the only thing is I'm going to be like, yeah, get it from wherever you want. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to like need to make sure it's cohesive.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where you're going on your honeymoon?
No idea.
Okay.
That, I think honeymoons, because you mentioned like your honeymoon too, I think that's kind of been a shift too.
Oh.
And in like our generation, as I think we have way more emphasis on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually going to, like I'm more about like, we both want to take like a month long honeymoon. And we also have non-traditional jobs where we like can do that, mm-hmm. but we're going to like be allocating like some more where funds might be going to like more things on the wedding. Like we're going to take away from, like, I don't think we're going to do like a sit down dinner either. Like mm-hmm. we're going to get rid of some of these things that are staples.
Like a buffet?
Like a buffet, yeah. Like extra food. We might have like food trucks. We might do like all random
it.
Things.
I'm
but
amazing. So jealous.
I know.
I'm saying this, we don't know. Like, I literally have
but
no idea.
Options of those things. Like, if we had food trucks, our parents would have been like, fuck you, you're not having food trucks, you're having what we want you to have.
And
right.
If we did, everybody would have loved the food. And everybody would be like, oh, this
no,
is
it might have been a little bit of a... No, it might have been a little bit like, they have food trucks. Right, like,
also, we would have been the progressive.
Yeah.
We would have set the standards.
Or we would have been the cheap assholes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm like, I personally, like, never care about food at a wedding. Like, I literally never care. I just want to get there.
It's
I want to hit the dance
bad.
Floor. It's usually not great.
Yeah.
I want to hit the dance floor. I'm more interested in, like, the party
the
part. And the appetizers. I love me an appetizer.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
You know?
Yeah, cocktail hour is the only really thing you
yeah.
need.
Cocktail hour should be the party. And then it's like an hour of dancing after.
Right.
Yeah. Like, for
right.
sure. So
right.
I think we're going to scrap that. Put it towards honeymoon fun.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think that's so smart. All right. I can't wait to find out. We're going to follow up and find out where you're going. All right. I had a few. I did some research and I had a few. It says some interesting information about weddings today as opposed to when we were. Between showers, bachelorette, and bachelor parties, and the big day itself, How much do you think wedding party members on average spend to be in a wedding?
Oh, you mean like the bridal
yeah,
party?
Yeah, like the bridal party, the groomsmen. Probably more the bridal party because I think they have a bigger part.
Yeah.
And I think you can rent a tux, but you have to buy a dress. They don't do like bridesmaid rentals yet, right?
People don't usually rent. Right. I think dresses have gotten cheaper just because like people are more like you're allowed to kind of like pick whatever you want. Like mm-hmm. I've seen like, you know, there's some websites now you can get like your dress online for like $100.
So honestly, what would your guess be?
My guess.
Average.
This might sound crazy to some people. $7,500.
Whoa. Well, that's a city wedding, right? This was $1,000.
Oh.
But we're even talking like anywhere in the country. So what you're saying might be, I mean.
I'm just saying like I had a friend's bachelorette party a couple months ago and I couldn't go. I wasn't able to go, but it was in Tulum and the trip itself cost everyone.
Mexico, right?
It was in Mexico. Uh-huh. It cost everyone $3,000.
Yeah.
So it's $3,000 just on the bachelor right. party. And then you right. have like the wedding shower. You have,
right.
then the wedding's a destination too. So then that's
you
another
have to fly
thing.
Back.
Yeah. So this shit adds up.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. Yeah. It said even guests not involved in the ceremony, even if you're not in the bridal party, can spend upwards of $700 per wedding by the time you go into travel, your outfits, your hotels, and gifts are all mixed in. All right, what months do you think the most engagements happen? I hear from both of you.
February.
Really?
Oh, I was gonna guess December.
Yes,
December.
Ding, ding, ding,
yeah,
December.
Engagement season. I used to.
She,
I know
she,
that.
She doesn't even understand Valentine's Day in February. Didn't get it. December? Why? Because of Christmas.
Yeah, a lot of people do yeah. engagements over the holidays.
Probably okay. like around their family and stuff too, because everyone's together then.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's like you
oh,
know,
we were December.
No, we were November, bitch.
Yeah. Don't call me bitch, first of all. It was
How'd you guys get engaged?
Not an interesting story.
No, I want to hear.
I'll tell you.
It was at a time. Japanese restaurant.
Really?
Over hibachi.
It was at hibachi and he was sweating so badly and I was like, can you guys turn the stove down a little bit? He's really hot. Meanwhile, we went back to our room and he proposed. I thought I was pregnant too, but I wasn't.
It was December.
It was the night before my birthday. My birthday is November
25th. December?
I don't know.
Wait, wasn't it 12/16?
No. Okay, it's December is correct. What percentage of men still get down on one knee?
Oh, I think it's high. It's got to be high. 95?
I mean.
Well, it depends on if the woman gets down on both knees first.
75%. This is just from like, you know, a wedding site. What percentage? Oh, we said change their name, 80%. And then I just have like some of the more expensive weddings. This will make you feel better no matter what you spend. That Kate and William's wedding cost an estimated $34
million.
$34 million? $34 million. That makes it perhaps the third most expensive wedding in history. Diana and Charles take the cake with a wedding costing $110 million when adjusted for inflation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's totally worth it.
And then I had, when we were talking about changing your name, I had an interesting story that in 1855, women suffragist, Lucy Stone insisted on keeping her name when she married abolitionist Henry Blackwell. 1855, she was like, I'm keeping my name. That's
damn
pretty
girl.
Ballsy.
Yeah.
And in the marriage contract that was read at their wedding, they gave voice to both to their mutual devotion and to their shared rejection of the marital laws that deprived women of so much freedom and financial equality. So, like, even back then, they were, see? Mm-hmm. It's all changed.
I love it.
Yeah. All right, and famous, I want to talk also about your most famous movie and TV weddings of all time.
Oh, the most famous wedding movie?
Or, like, your favorite.
Oh, man, that's hard.
Favorite movie and TV weddings.
I have not cataloged them.
Yeah, you know so many.
Favorite movie weddings?
Or TV weddings. Or, like, most famous that you think of. I thought you were going to say, like, The Godfather when they... Or, like, Goodfellas, which was the movie where they come with all the checks. It's just one person after the other, where they're just. Have you seen Goodfellas?
Or isn't that like The Godfather?
I think
Godfather. The whole like half of the movie is about the wedding, and then the second half is about. But Goodfellas, when they're dancing, and Karen says, "But what about the bag with all the money?" And
He's like, nobody's going to touch the
wire. Nobody's going to touch the wire. Don't worry about that here.
Because they're all giving cash and everything. Yeah. Well, friends, when Rachel says the wrong name. Everyone Ross says the wrong name.
Oh, right. Classic.
Mm-hmm. And the Princess Bride. Marriage is what brings us. And Love Actually, which is my favorite. Have you seen
that wedding? Yeah.
Where at the beginning, where then that you find out that he's been photographing, the videographer was videoing her the whole time because he's so in love with her.
You don't remember that?
You never saw it.
Oh, what?
I know.
You gotta
get
on that.
Same reason he doesn't want to renew his vows because he's behind the times. Well, this was fun.
This was so fun.
Yes. All right, so tell everyone where they can find you, Sarah Merrill.
Yes, Sarah Merrill on my personal Instagram is where I'm going to be posting a lot of my wedding stuff.
And where you're going to be posting more twerking with glitter, I hope.
Lots of twerking with glitter and ridiculous things. And then my comedy account is Big Kid Problems, Big Kid Problems on Instagram. Think of it as like you're not an adult, you're a big kid with problems. Check out the podcast. The podcast is really fun and new. The Big Kid Problems podcast on iTunes, Spotify. And if you're listening to this podcast right now, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find it.
We'll put your links everywhere also.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for having us in your cute apartment. I love it here.
Yeah. Thanks.
I want to move in.
We could
you can Airbnb it.
Or something.
Oh,
Airbnb.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Can we start tonight?
Here's a
check.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, thank you so much, Sarah. And good luck with your wedding planning. We're going to check in from time to time and give people an update.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks. Wish me luck.
I do.
Yes.
Good luck.